So, guys, we're live for the first time ever doing the BU podcast. I'm not sure any of us know how this is going to go. I think we're going to try to keep it real, raw, and just have a lad chat, really, aren't we? And just get really stuck into some topics. So, before we get into intros, I'll explain a quick bit about what the BU is all about. All stem from the original journal idea, BU. You know, a bee's wings are too small for its body, and it defies the human limitation of being able to fly. So this podcast is hopefully going to give people tools, techniques, strategies to be able to defy the limitations. And also we're going to have some fun along the way. We're going to make some honey, aren't we? So my name's Luke Ambler. I'm one of the hosts of this new show. So over to my co-host.
And I need to check in, don't I?
You did check
in. I always check in. So this is Leon checking in. And again, just picking up on the back of what Luke's saying there is, I think I'm really excited. Really excited about this journey, what it means, and I'm even more excited though because I've got my brother from another mother sat next to me, and with no further ado, we've got Deck checking in, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm checking in. I think I'm super excited to be invited to chat to these two great people, but also great friends of mine. And when we come together, we have a lot of real good conversations and a real good laugh. And I think to record it and to share that with other people. It's a no-brainer, really.
Yeah, and I think we'll get into a little bit how we all know each other later to do with the Andy's Man Club. Obviously, this is very much separate to that, and we'll get into that. But I think what really good is when me and Leon were chewing the fat one day driving and we're about doing this podcast, we started talking, and it ran me one day really excited because we need a special guest for the first one. And I was chatting to you yesterday, Deck, and I thought, who more special than Deck? Especially when we're going to do a lot about Kilimanjaro today and some of that stuff. You know, us three were the founders of Slug Squad, weren't we? We're all in there at Slug Squad, which we'll go into in a little bit about what that we're about. But guys, before we start, I think it's just might be a bit of a tradition for the start just to show you a little surprise I've brought for you.
Go on then.
You might be a little bit shocked at this, if you remember this. I've brought the Kilimanjaro
shaft back.
You feel the power in the room just raise then when he brought that out.
Feel it?
I mean, it's a big moment, that look.
I'm going to pass it over, Deck.
Wow.
You know, your first ever guest on BU,
and I think we've got some. Just 1 second there, fellas, because obviously I've got my technology out on here. I'm in the hot seat, and we've got some people checking in at the minute. We've got the wonderful Kim Longley. Do you want to just hello to Kim?
Hello, Kim.
And also we've got Naomi Clayton checked in as well. So we've got a couple of people watching at the minute. Any questions for us, guys? Just drop them on the chat, and I'll be monitoring that and coming back to it. But let's get back to, you know, first things to first. The shaft.
Yeah, so I'll
do the honours. Do the honours, Deck, and explain where the shaft is from and what
so
it's all about.
It were born in Kilimanjaro from our trek, and it were picked up just sat along the trek along the way.
Can I just roll you back though?
Yeah.
Right, because there's going to be people out there listening to this who don't know what Kilimanjaro is, don't know why we went. Right, so I think what would be really good is if we just roll this back and talk about why us three are sat in the room and why we went to Kilimanjaro. So to talk how powerful that shaft is. Come on.
I'll let Luke do a lot of the explaining about Kilimanjaro because it was Luke that come up with the idea. But briefly on the shaft, what that represents for me, spending some time with the shaft and its owner,
you ruined on me, Deck.
I did.
You and me.
Still spent some time with you.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I feel Luke should talk about Kilimanjaro, but for this, you know, it was sat along the trek, along the way, picked up, and contributed a lot to it, and it made the trip up to the top. It made the trip across back to the UK, come back broken, and in a bit of a sorry state. But I've seen it today, and it's looking more lively than ever. So.
Do you know what? I think it's a bit like all of us.
Yeah.
It might sound silly to some people, like when a branch is cut from its roots, you know, it's got to do its own thing, hasn't it? And I think sometimes people think it's done with. I found that on one of the first days, and we brought it right to the top, where we all made it to, which were unbelievable. A little round of applause.
Yeah.
Right, we all made it to the top of Kilimanjaro.
It was horrendous.
Horrendous. But the shaft got all the way up, and it became a bit of a symbol of strength, didn't it? And we just kept referring to it shaft, and it got back down. As you said, we all came back from arrived in Manchester Airport a bit like that, shaft a bit broken.
I feel it.
I think, like Leon says, what a lot of people won't know is how we end up going to Kilimanjaro.
Yeah,
a lot last year we've done a lot of stuff for Andy's Man Club, the male suicide charity that we're all involved with. But I remember sat in Morrison's car park, I don't even know if you two know this, and I remember thinking, I want something for myself, a challenge, that we can do something for a good cause, Andy's Man Club, but also just a bit about testing my own mentality, my own body. Since retiring as a rugby player, I've not really done much stuff. And it ended up coming about where I was sat in Morrison's car park with kids in the car waiting for Mrs. to come out. She'll kill me for reminding her about this. And I just thought, like I do with stuff, get impulsive. I just put up a Facebook post out, Kilimanjaro 2018, October, who's coming? Or it might have been August, who's coming? Next minute, a lot of people are interested. She's come out of Morrison's. She's driving back down from Morrison's to our house. She said, "You got Kilimanjaro, are you?" And I says, "Oh, yeah, I meant to ask you. I didn't mean to post it." So I asked you. Anyway, she's gone. Sound, all right. Okay, you can go. And then, to flip it, she says, "How long are you going for?" I said, "It's about a week, all in. She said, "Sound." So I didn't learn from my last mistake. I've looked right into it. It turns out it's a 13-day. We're 13 days in end up, start to finish. Yeah. Something like that from when you leave to get home.
I think the worst bit was that the flight to... What was that? The second flight.
On that.
We flew Dubai, wasn't it? So we'd had an absolute peach. Best flight I've ever been on from Manchester to Dubai, flying with Emirates.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Absolutely, full credit to them. You know, for many reasons, that were an absolute peach of a flight, and it was just the sheer contrast, wasn't it, on Fly Dubai.
And I think that the thing with Emirates, we was trying to blag and get an upgrade, weren't we?
Yeah.
That was just standard class, what was in Emirates, and how good was that?
Yeah, and it were the service, but it were just people and the connection on the flight as well, and everyone who were sort of just interested in, and it were amazing to listen back to how it first started with a bit of like negative feedback, and everyone thought we were there with the t-shirts on branded up, there's a stag do on, they're quite loud, they're a bit intimidating, and then suddenly when
and that
people
was just Luke eating his dinner.
And then when the air hostesses started to, you know, tell everyone what we were actually doing and what we were there for and the reason behind it, and that we were there for a charity and raising awareness, people just clicked and realised, you know, and then wanted to come and talk to us then, and that, you know, they weren't intimidated, and then for the pilot to give us a call out as well, just unbelievable. So that was the first flight, and then the second flight
we arrived in Dubai in good spirits, didn't we, and then
yeah,
we thought Fly Dubai, get in, we're on it, out where this sounds another Dubai, anything we were Dubai in usually is, I call it, and we got in, and it was like a downgraded Ryanair, wasn't it? Let's be honest.
I honestly
everyone's head went down.
I don't think it's doing it justice. I mean, I think, what's your memory of that first flight?
I remember.
I mean, what did you do?
I remember being a tall lad, so I decided that I would get.
How tall are you, though, for people who don't know?
6'3", so I thought I'd get some extra leg room.
Tower.
Paid for it. And next minute,
I have a
look down.
How wide are you as well, though?
I have a look down. 6'3". And there he is, Leon, the cheekiest man I've ever met, laid beneath my feet. He just snuck in, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I didn't see that, you know. Being frugal, you know, we're out there for charity, aren't we? I thought, I had been frivolous and just, you know, paying for upgrades. So I thought, you know, we talk about solutions. So, what did solutions stand for? Come on.
Standards, laughter, unity, gangsters.
Yes, yes.
Could we listen to a lot of rap? Yeah. Guys, I want to just press bell a minute, right? I don't know what this is for. So much just come to me that I want to ask you about.
What we're going to use the bell for? Is that like a brainstorm, for a brain flash,
yeah.
I'm going to show you a video, guys. I don't know if you've seen the video of the young Syrian boy just near here in Huddersfield that's been bullied. Have you not seen it? I want to get your live reaction to it. So it might go quiet for a little second.
Can't we put it on here?
We won't be able to get it on.
On YouTube on here?
So what we're going to do is we're going to show you guys. A lot of people have seen this video already. It's of the boy in Huddersfield, the 16-year-old lad, who's he's gone and he's bullying the young boy from Syria. Here, look, I found it up straight away. Have a watch of this. You might need to have a listen.
I can't watch it anymore.
I thought about getting a bit of a live reaction off you lads, because I'll just give you a little bit of paint, a little bit of a picture as well. And what news is coming out on that is that the young Syrian boy, not only has he been getting, his sister's also been getting bullied at that school, but he's basically, if you notice, he had a pot on his arm, that was from getting bullied a couple of weeks before. He'd been beat up and they'd broke his arm, these bullies, and then they'd just done that. So I just thought, when I was driving it today, it'd be a great talking point.
You know? I think on that, why not just hit home with me, is my daughter, Evie, she's 7, 8, and just got to 8, and she had a little bit of a problem in school. I'm a governor at the school as well. And she'd come home a bit upset, and she'd gone to go sit down at in her school meal. And then basically three groups of girls said, "We don't want you sitting with us." And she's real upset. And then got that reported back to me, and I was broken with that. It's always gone into the school like she does, like warrior mum, charging there, and the school's been brilliant. And I asked for a report back on what, you know, what was happening on that. And what was really interesting, Paisley School, fantastic school, very underprivileged school there. And the way they dealt with that, I thought was amazing. And to see that in there, that just sickens me. I mean, to the point of, I want to strangle the kids, like myself, you know.
The reason why I want to show you is, more than all, is because the title of our podcast is called Be You.
Yeah.
For me, it's about limitation, but it's also about encouraging anyone who listens to what we talk about to be themselves. You know, you've got a young kid there who's come from a very disadvantaged background in Syria. You know, he's made the trip over here. Who knows what he's been through in his previous life over there in Syria? He's managed to get over here to England. You know, he's gone to a school. He's probably the best education he's ever had. You know, do we talk about resilience? You know, that kid's gone back into school with a broken arm and faced the bullies and then been beat up again. And I just think, you know, some of the standards we've got sometimes as Westerners, you know, it's piss poor, if I'm being honest.
I think the big bit of that, though, is that, I like that word paradigm, don't I? Which is like just a lot of beliefs that we hold to be true. And if anyone doesn't understand that, I urge them to really look at that. But if you think of that, is that lad, how old is he? Do we know how old he is? They're not the one who's being bullied, the
14,
perpetrator.
15, I think.
Right, so, I guess. Again, that's down to parenting, and it's down to his environment, isn't it? What's built that, because he doesn't know no different. And when you really question that and you dig deep on that, for me, is anyone who knows why Britain's great is we're great because we're
inclusive,
inclusive, you know, we're from different cities, different backgrounds. I mean, I remember living in Bradford. I used to go to school and I was one of the minorities. And that's what makes our country so great, because we're so multicultural,
diverse.
It doesn't matter what's one of the main sayings of the Man Club?
Togetherness.
It doesn't matter what it would,
what background you're from, what race you're from. And I think that's a big one for this kid. I think what's been really nice is the awareness it's created for bullying. You know, previously, you know, my personal experience, that's how my whole journey began, with personal development and self-help. You know, when parents broke up, I put on a lot of weight and I started to get bullied. And there's no worse psychological warfare than getting bullied, because you have no control of a situation. You feel like you can't talk to anyone about it. But here it is, it's been exposed. You know, and this video is quite old, apparently, but it's only just action starting to be taken now. But there's, what's coming out of it is a lot of professional football clubs, rugby clubs now inviting this kid down to ground, inviting him around to just to give him a bit back. And I think it's going to be great for his self-esteem. And
I think both sides are look. I think there's two things here, don't they? I mean, the love needs to go out to the pair of them, because it's not that the lad who's doing it. You know, he's learnt that behaviour. You know, we're not born to be like that. He's had that drilled into him from somewhere, whether that's media, news,
school.
Mm. That's come from somewhere. He wasn't born with that, you know. And that's one of the things that we need to tackle. And I think, what's your thoughts on that, Dick, seeing that? Because I'm disgusted. I'm angry with myself now. But I think the word I'd use now is, knowing what I know with coping strategies and techniques, is I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that someone can be like that.
A comment that's just come in that's going to throw it for you, Dick, is someone's just come on. Danny Stanton just said the kid had attacked a female, that's why he was attacked. So it's interesting, and I thought about it somewhere. If I'd have ran in as an adult, as a man, and grabbed the kid who just bullied him and put him on the floor, someone just caught that video, you can get a perception, can't you? So
yeah, true. Yeah.
This were a little bit of a double-edged sword, so I'm glad that someone's commented.
Good.
Because that's why I wanted the fence sitting. So Dick, now we see that.
I mean, my take on that now is, because when I was watching it before, all I could think about is how actions and environments as we're young affect us as we get older. And the more I've grown up and the more I've matured, the more I've realised things that happens in mine and other people's childhood affect who they are now. And I think that goes for most people. So, you know, at first I've sort of felt sorry for them both. When I was watching it, I was feeling sorry for the guy that were getting bullied, because again, like you said, he's come from, you know, I'm not sure, but to be bullied and is an awful situation to be involved in. Then I also felt sorry for the guy that were bullying, because like Leon referred to his environment, whether it's home or somewhere, he feels that that's, you know, is he doing that for popularity for his friends? Is he doing that to gain respect? You know, is he doing it to release something that's built up in him? So
it's interesting.
It is interesting. And then for the guy to have, and the same goes, so if it is true and the guy with the pot on had assaulted a female, again, it sort of needs education, because where's that come from? He's probably seen that that's something that's happened in his community somewhere and feels that that's acceptable. And it may be in his community, it might be deemed as acceptable, but...
I think the point I made there is it's education on the pair of them, because they're so young, innit? So there's two things, isn't there? One person's actions don't... You know, because one person's done a wrong... It don't mean that you can do a wrong back. I think that's the big
one. That's what Kim Longley on here just said. Two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. And I think Danny made a great point. Both still totally wrong. And I think there's an interesting thing here. It's just giving me a thought. I went to, I think it was 13 or 14 schools from being 7 to being 12. My parents ran all around Bradford and Leeds, right? And it was a common thing for me to go into a school and I was either beaten... Or I learnt, that's how I got into rugby. I learnt to get into rugby and be a number 10 because people get on with you, don't they? Yeah. People like people who play sports. And I know myself, when I was about 13, 14, I wasn't always the greatest guy. And you go through learning. And I think what's different now, though, is, and we've also got to bear this in mind, and this is what scares me about my own kids now, is we all know when we was kids, we'll have acted in ways that weren't great at times. You know, we're all human. That's the main thing, right? I've got to remember the power on. We watched a video there, and instantly, and it's great why you set that up like that. We have a perception, don't we?
Straight away. Everyone else is viewing that. Yeah. We straight away.
And that's down to, there's a word called cognitive dissonance, isn't it, right? If you hold a belief to be true, no matter what, you will believe that will be the outcome, right? And I think there's a massive thing in that, in being aware, but there's also a massive thing, and this is what... I have a love-hate relationship with social media and technology. I have a technology company now, right? And I have a big saying that technology should be used as a tool, but unfortunately, technology uses us as tools because we don't know how to control it.
Yep.
So we believe what is true. So, I mean, me personally, I don't really watch much news. Fellas, how hard is it to get hold of me? You got to ring me. I don't really answer my messages. I use technology. But things like that, that's why I don't watch news, because you can be swayed one way.
Yeah.
But I think what it does do, though, it highlights a big thing in terms of culturally, we're making a massive shift, aren't we? Where we want to be changing the way that we handle ourselves and do certain things. But I think it comes back down to grassroots. And the reason why I love being involved in Andy's Man Club, and I think it's got a great place, but it's not the fix what's out there. I think it starts at grassroots, doesn't it? What's your thoughts on that?
I just thinking back before that about how I really liked an idea that I'd read about called a CCTV point of view, and it's how CCTV point of view.
Right.
So basically, me and Decker having an argument, I've got there's a situation, this monitor, I'm looking at it, I can't see you. You've got your argument and your point of view, and you can't see me. This is like that video, right? We've seen one side of picture, we've seen one person's opinion, what they've posted, and everyone's bought into that, they've took a bite on it.
Yep.
No one's seen yours, but then what there is the third angle is my point of view, one CCTV camera, two CCTV cameras, and there's one on the roof that looks unemotional. And I think in times in life, what we're going to do is take the emotion out of the situation and view it from above. Mm. We all do this with us partners. You go home, you have an argument with your partner because you thought you were going to have an argument. You're pissed off about a situation. You argue, you don't look at their point of view. They're arguing because they're not looking at your point of view. And if you stop for a second, take yourself away from the situation and look at it as if you'd written it down on a piece of paper, you'd say to yourself, are we really arguing over this?
Yeah.
And one to watch that video, I don't, my problem is I don't know enough about that to make an assumption. What I will make an assumption is what that kid's done to that kid is a dog's act.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Whether that he's just done something else before or not, seeing that there is a dog's act, I just don't think violence helps. You know, I do work in a lot of prisons and I see a lot of moments of madness, it's called, right? Moments of madness.
I like
basically,
that.
What happens is someone has a build up of frustration, a build up of irritation, you know, ego gets the best of them in a moment, they don't learn to control themselves, and they take a moment of madness, which is putting a knife in someone. You know, you're hearing it a lot now, it's coming up north. It's gone from being a London thing to being an up north thing, where kids are carrying knives, and they think at any moment that they'll do that, because it might give them a mark of honour. But I'll tell you now, when you go in and see what these prisons are really like, There's no honour in it. There's no, you know, there's no cool, no kudos. So for me, education, you know, it start, for me, I've just had a baby, right, which we'll get into in a little bit. And I started to think about, no one really ever tells you how to be a parent. You know, I was thinking this morning, she'd just done one of her tar naps. When the baby, you first had a baby, I know you haven't got kids yet, but when you first have a baby, the nap is a tar.
Let's have a big shout out though, actually, yeah, on that. Come on, let's just had a baby. Come on,
congrats,
come on,
mate. Congrats.
Come. I think we need, to be honest. Let's talk about that.
Yep.
Just had a baby.
Yep.
How are we feeling? New dad in the room.
Yep. Be honest with you, it's been a last Wednesday. So what were we on Thursday? Last Wednesday, I was just about to go back into the Mount prison at work, and Lisa texted me saying, they're gonna, I'll ring in 20 minutes, I'm with midwife, they're gonna be, might be admitting me to hospital. Straight away alarm bells ringing, I can't go back in. For anyone who doesn't know, this will make a little bit of sense to why I'm gonna tell you this bit of a story, which I wasn't planning on today. But Lisa, when she was 6 months pregnant with my first daughter, Aubrey, her asthma flared up that bad that she had an asthma attack, and within 5 minutes she was declared critical. She was in intensive care unit, all under intensive care supervision. It was the worst moment ever of my life. You know, watching my missus and the doctor and saying, how's the baby, how's the baby, how's the baby? He said, look, baby's the least of your worries. Lisa's critical. It's a 5 minute window. You need to ring her mum and dad. I remember Elaine getting on there and Billy, Lisa's dad, and me being in bits because literally they're about to go. So then fast forward, I get this text. She had been struggling as well, a little bit. She thought she had preeclampsia, but it wasn't confirmed. Her blood pressure was getting high. We've been in and out of hospital anyway. I said, you need to let me know now. I said, you know what, stuff it, family first. I listened to a summit by Will Smith a while ago. He said, you've got to make decisions ahead of time. He said, if you've got a decision between got the Grammys, and it's a big example, or you stay at home with your sick child, you already know ahead of time. So if that situation occurs, you're already making the right decision for you. I already knew if that occasion ever, that situation ever occurred, I knew what to do. Straight into prison, let them know the situation, and I went car. 3.5 hour journey turned into a 5.5 hour journey. On my way home, I get a phone call off Lisa's auntie. Basically said they're admitting her, she's got preeclampsia. And so I rang Sabrina, who works for me, and she said, don't Google it, you know, because preeclampsia is pretty dangerous. Anyway, we get back to hospital, keep her in overnight, everything seems fine. Fast forward then, so I've had to book all time off work, everything's looking all right, but we go down Saturday to get checked, we go down Sunday to get checked, and they say we're going to induce you Tuesday.
I remember speaking to you because you weren't here, your mind was in a spin, wasn't it?
Yes, big time. So I've shut all social media down because I've been getting a lot of personal messages. I've said, listen, I'm offline, you know, because I don't need to be dealing with all of the stuff right now. I've got to be family first, right? So Tuesday, they tell her we're going to induce you. So Monday, I'm right, cool, right? I've got a lot of stuff to get sorted out for baby. Let's get it sorted. Then she comes into office and I'm clearing out my office. I'm moving offices at the minute. Got everything out. She texts me, basically said, they want to induce me tonight now. So I'm like, damn. Right. So we end up getting out of hospital anyway, they got induced. Long story short is 6 o'clock that night we're in hospital and we're there, me, Elaine, you know, Andy and Lisa's mum, and Lisa all night. We can go on to the bath story, mate. I know Leon's looking and smirking.
Nearly bringing a belly.
About 4 o'clock in the morning, she starts to really have proper contractions and she's one of the most resilient people I've ever met. I mean, literally, you know, we talk about Andy's mankle, but you know, someone's got to remember that Andy died and she was such a rock for everyone around that point, which I will go into. But yeah, Lisa, you know, she starts pushing, baby comes out. You know, when you witness childbirth in its rawest form, and there's no better experience in my life. My little baby's born, you know, Ada, Drew, Ambler, her initials.
And explain that. I love this. Love it.
So Drew is, you know, for her uncle Andrew. You know, yes. Put that in there. So
big respect.
You know, Andrew is, you know, we started on his bank up after. So we got a little shout out for Andrew in there. And also Ada. Ada Drew Andrew spells Ada. So it's a little bit of fun there. But an hour later, after she's all been stitched up and everything's looking really good, Lisa decided to go, you know, get a shower. So assistant comes in, about to take her in for a shower. They take her in. Listen, funny bit of this. No, listen, that's rewound. She's that baby now.
She'll be crying at this point, man.
Yeah, she might be. She's listening. Anyway, they've sewed her up. Everything's looking good. She's happy.
Everything's looking good.
Yeah, put some extra ones in there.
I did say that. Yeah. Lisa will hear that, but we're keeping it real. We're keeping it raw. So took a couple extras in. Just for a bit of fun. Not that she needs it, but we had a bit of fun. We had a fun all night. Anyway, she goes to get into shower, and then she goes in with assistant. I went back to get some for her, and I went back and just did this, like she'd knocked a bucket off, and I'm like, shit, what's she doing? Right? And I looked down and there was blood all over the floor, like loads of it, like more blood than I've ever seen in my life, right? So the assistant looked at me shocked. She said, go press the emergency bell now. So I just opened the door and shouted, Stevie, in here, Stevie. So Stevie's come running in. She's looked. She's rang. She's shouted, "Mammy, to doctor." He's come running in. He's shouted his woman. They've come in. Right, Lisa, you need to get on bed quick. And I'm panicking now because all I've got is a flashback from 4 years ago when doctor come running in and basically about to tell my missus about to lose her life. So I'm now panicking. I can't really look at my daughter properly because I'm thinking this could be because of her. So I'm losing that little bit of thing there. I'm looking at Lisa thinking I don't want to say out to her because last time I didn't even ask the doctor, so I couldn't speak. It's the first time ever I couldn't speak. And, you know, my head's going, I'm starting to cry my eyes out. And I said, "Steve," and she said, "Look, she's got a blood clot on the womb." So, which is, I think Lisa has looked at it after, and it's one of the highest rates that women can die after birth. So basically the doctor's gone, "Lisa, can I check?" He's had to go in after she's already been stitched up, and he's had to physically remove each of the clots. I can't get hold of Elaine, and, you know, Lisa's mum. I'm stood there on my own with this baby that I can't even look at properly now because I'm thinking this is your fault, and then I'm thinking it's my fault, and straight away what's next mode comes in. I'm thinking I'm going to have to bring two kids upon my own, three kids with Alpha, and I'm thinking he's going to get took off because he's my stepson, and all this shit's going through me. It's weird how your mind works. Yeah. And I'm straight away, solution, and then the doctor looked at me. He said, "Look," and I said, "What?" He said, "I'm paid to worry. Do I look worried?" I said, "No," he said, "because I'm not. It's going to be fine." And instantly this relief just came out of me. And that 6 months from when, from 4 years ago, which was 6 months pregnant, saying, "This is critical," to him saying, "Don't worry," that was just like, wow. Mm. And then obviously since that moment, she's been cool. She's been good. We've we had no sleep last night. She's had no sleep since Monday night.
You smell a bit fresh though, you. You smell a bit fresh.
Yeah, I've got a bit of Sauvage.
Yeah, he's looking like Danny Zuko as well. He's looking well, mate.
He's looking well. Sleep. I think it was that bath. I think it was that bath. Do you see where I went with that?
Do you want to know about that? I can't believe you brought that bath up. Basically, I was struggling a little bit. I'd been talking and I'd been getting energy up all night. I'd been like having banter with all the windwives and they're all laughing their heads off. And then Lisa said, "Have a nap." I said, no. I said, "There's a bath in there, isn't there?" She went, "Do you want a bath?" And I went, "Is that all right?" And she went, "Yeah, crack on. I'm not allowed to get one." So I went in, run a bath. I want to watch Narcos. I'm not into a TV, right? But I've got into Narcos at the minute. I'm watching Narcos Mexico. I'm into all drug lord stuff, right? And I'm watching Narcos in bath, and then Lisa comes in while she's middle of labour, videoing it.
I love it. And it's just anyone who's listening to this, is it? Where's that video?
It's on Instagram. My Instagram, Luke Campbell.
I love it. He's like a little kid, isn't he? Yeah. He like turns around as if to say, "Were you?" And I think he gets a reality check. He's in like Lisa's in labour. It's Lisa's bath, and he sorts himself out. But then he goes from being like.
To like a little kid who's been caught out doing something he shouldn't be.
Mad.
It's great.
So I'll tell you what, it leads on nicely, sir, because we are just going to keep rolling with this. I guess 2018 for my person has been just an unbelievable year. It's been an unbelievable few years, both positively and negatively. You know, and when I say negatively, I think more lessons have been learned. What is the one thing where you'd say, "Oh, like, give me a top three"? We could go round clockwise like a session deck. What would be a top three moments for you of 2018?
Kilimanjaro for up there in the top three. We can talk about it a bit later on, but physically and mentally, without a doubt, the hardest thing I've ever done. All involved with the build up to it and the time you were there and the emotions, good and you know, everything involved with it was just such an experience. I think at two is we've moved into his first house.
Nice.
And there were a lot, you know.
Get in.
And also, again, share with everyone. I mean, that was nice.
Yeah, so...
A little surprise what you got.
Before I'd left for Kilimanjaro...
Two for price of one, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so before I left for Kilimanjaro, transferred my part of the deposit to Christy because there's a chance that we're going to be exchanging money while we're away, so I did that. When I got back, there was a surprise at the airport waiting for me, Christy and my mum, which were fantastic to see them on the way back. My mum had not seen the new house, so Christy had said, "We're going to go show your mum the new house while we're on the way back." Unbeknown to me, we'd already moved in. Get so it. We handed up, we got the keys.
Cheeky. Cheeky.
Yeah, and she'd moved all the furniture in through herself and family, and some of her best friends had moved all the furniture in. So I thought we'd just nipping by, but we'd moved in, all my stuff were in there, so that were amazing. And then she'd also...
What did that feel like, though? Because, I mean... We'll talk about Kilimanjaro in a bit, but we'd gone from massive highs, massive lows. I mean, me personally, I was just so relieved to be back home on terra firma, me. So, and for you, you was coming back thinking that your world was still upside down. So what did that feel like?
I wore all over the place. So I'd landed back and I couldn't even sort of put into words. I couldn't get my head around what we'd just done. It hadn't sunk in at all. So it was just like, it was like I were watching myself. It was like I were just watching myself, and it seemed so surreal. But it was just, you know, just showed how much the relationship means to us, and how much we care for each other. She'd gone way out of above and beyond what she physically can do to make that happen. So it was just sheer sort of thankfulness, really, for what she'd done. Because and she'd also nice. She'd also booked the week off work for me as well, so that I could sit in my new house and just get to grips with what's just gone on, time to reflect. So it was just unbelievable, you know, what she'd done.
Number three
is going to be Andy's Man Club related, because it's sort of the group, the Leeds group, that, you know, that I helped facilitate, started this year in January, and I think it went from 8 guys through the door to recently we've had us peak at 33. And for the hard work that everyone involved with Andy's Man Club's put in, but, you know, for myself and Andy and the guys that help out there, to see the reward now that it's fully established. The culture at the club is fantastic, and it's up there with the clubs that I've seen, with Halifax starting and you know, Hull, that you hear such good things about, and all the good clubs that are running around and the UK, and the culture that's there is great. And I was talking to Andy Wilson, who helps run it with me, about where that culture comes from, and I think it comes from starting out, so from yourself and the people that helped start the club and the morals behind it. But I think the guys who run the separate clubs and have the input in it, it's down to them as well, and they turn up each week. 100%. They turn up each week with the right mindset, and they care about the club and the guys that come through, and I think this culture set from there as well. So, you know, to see that grow and develop, and we're now spreading out into Leeds and the services of Leeds. We had an interview with Leeds United TV last week, and we've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline, and it is fantastic. So they're my top three 2018s.
Big 2008 and
massive.
I don't want to put this on yours and Leon's, but also being made a trustee of Andy's Man Club.
Yeah.
Which I think we forgot about at times, don't we, because of how busy we all are. I went to his first trustee meeting yet.
Yeah. It's an honour. I use a phrase that when I first started coming to Andy's Man Club and using it, and then developed into a facilitator, and I've said it to you before, it's in me. So I've said it runs through my veins. It's something that I am so passionate about for so many reasons, and I give a lot to, and it gives me purpose, and we can speak about purpose in a bit, but it gives me purpose in my life. So to be made a trustee and to be given that honour to take, you know, decision making and to go and represent on a different level than I have before, means the absolute world to me. So that is up there, but, and you know, it's credit to you as well for that.
Leon, key three.
I'm just trying to find something here. So for me, and I'll do it in three orders. It's a Steve Jobs quote. I couldn't connect it forwards. I'm connecting it back.
Yeah.
But ultimately for me, so first place for me is Andy's Man Club. And the reason I want to say that is, so I was in a job that I had my own business, but I was supporting another bigger business, and I'd been doing it for many, many years. So externally, a lot of people thought I was successful. We had this chat up the mountain, didn't we? Yeah. You know, and I had a lot of pressure in that job, what I did, but a bit like you, decking construction, very male-dominated industry, very egotistical industry, tough industry is construction. And when I'm questioning it, I didn't love what I was doing. Did not love what I was doing. I love my technology. I love what I'm doing. And I remember, and I've got it here for you boys, I brought this for us today. I did a little exercise called the 3 most important questions. And you can see this. I did it in 2007. You can see on there.
Experiences,
growth. Goals. Yeah. And if you look on experiences, one of the things I wrote down was I want to experience taking my kids to school.
Nice.
That's what I wanted to experience. And there's all of the little bits I put on there, and not one of them, when I looked at them experiences, cost me any money. Then the next column was, how do I need to grow to experience some things? So for me, when I really asked myself that question, the career I'd chosen, and it was a great company, Forward, you know, founded in 1946, it didn't fit where I wanted to be. So I needed to learn about business and learn about other stuff, and I need to take a massive plunge and go all in, like we talk about, don't we, Luke?
100%.
You know, so sort of face my fears, you know, like the lads. And what started giving that idea was I wanted to get involved in Andy's Man Club, Back then when I wrote this, you know, what was going to give back? So the idea was, if I was experiencing all these things, taking my kids to school, and I'm secure in life, if you like, I've learnt all this stuff, what am I going to give back? And what's it say on their deck?
Give Andy's Man Club.
All right. And that's how it looks, and that's how it stacked up for me. And for me, I owed a lot to the club, because it gave me that time out for myself to go work on myself. So yeah. I'm massive on personal development. We all know that. But it got me to sit there for 2 hours with no technology. It got me to sit there and actually question myself, listen to other guys question themselves, and it made me accountable. So first and foremost, you set up. Thank you, big man. You help me all the time. And I think out of someone's tragedy, like Andy, and how I got into it, my old rugby coach, Roy, took his own life, Roy Burnett, tower of a man, and it still upsets me to this day to think about it. And no man, when you look at the statistics, you know, one man every 2 hours. When I was in the construction industry, I wanted to get involved in Andy's Man Club because I thought there's a massive need for it in construction, massive need for us to push that out there and change the paradigm in there. Cause it's dog eat dog in construction, and you'll know that more, Dick, won't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So first, and that one. Secondly, taking the risk and going all in on my new business venture.
Number one,
Andy's Man Club.
Number two, going all in.
Going all in on my own business, Think Cloud. And it's one of them things. I remember me and Faz did a charity event for Paul for Brain and Bamboo back in Hull, and we stepped off the side of a building, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I'm terrified of heights. And I edited, you know, like we can put filters on stuff on videos, can't we? And the video looks like we've all got it worked out, and I'm checking in, and I'm stepping back. But what they didn't see is I did it out. I'd slipped a few times. I'd got it all wrong. I was absolutely crapping myself. And then I think that's a bit like life, because once I'd stepped over it and you see that video, me and Faz are checking in, we're half-fiving, we're whooping, we're hollering. We've stepped over that edge and we've done it. And I think for me, taking a step from going from security and thinking I've got everything covered and going all in. And I remember we got real on the top of the mountain, didn't we?
We did.
Because I didn't have it figured out on top of the mountain. I still don't have it figured out today. I just know that as long as I put enough hard work in,
I'll let you finish your free. I don't think any of us ever got it worked out. And I think I went to a Professor Green event recently, and he said it. He actually said these words. He said, of all the people I've met, some have been what you'd call highly successful people. He goes, I don't think any of us have ever really got a shit together. I think we're all still trying to work it out, being human. He said, I think we're all still trying to work it out.
I like that.
And it stuck in my mind, that. And we'll finish your top three and we'll go into it.
I love that. And then the last one, Kilimanjaro, because a good friend of mine, Alex, you know, we've done stuff in business together for years, and he's a good personal friend of mine. And we've gone from earning lots of money, doing different things, to watch a real good video on Netflix called Minimalism. And yep. You're into this. And yep. I meditate every day, and I love Buddhism. And I'm playing around with that idea and that ideology. And we spoke about this at the moment, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was that sort of, what's the word when you get an idea? Is it an epiphany? You get like an idea?
Yep. Yeah,
And what did it for me was, we're getting higher rates of anxiety and depression, and you know, my own daughter coming back from school, and I go into the schools when I'm a trustee and I see the figures, and they're putting more support in for the kids now for anxiety and all these different results.
Yep.
And I'm stood there and I'm thinking, you know, what's happening? And we're in Tanzania, and I've never been to a third. I thought I'd been to a third world country. I'd been to Egypt, right?
What a place, by the way, as well, Tanzania.
Yeah, let's give
it. I fell in love with it. More than anywhere I've ever been.
And the sheer poverty they've got, though, right? The sheer absolute poverty, and you guys can talk more about, you know, our good pal Hillary. Words don't put it. It's a bit like the mountain. You can't put out that, when you stood on that mountain looking down above the clouds, people ask me, I can't put it into words. It's so big an idea, I can't put it into words. Tanzania's like that, isn't it?
I'm going to shut you with my top three.
Yeah.
And
Tanzania, when we're there, I couldn't get made round. Everyone was just, when we was, you know, all our kit, what people kindly donated to me and sponsored me, we left everything, didn't we? Yeah. We made sure that, you know, the people who got the best of what we'd raised
and
what
even
we'd
getting a pair of socks, the appreciation.
Yeah.
And I think a big thing in our country at the minute is the levels of expectation versus appreciation.
It's that word, entitlement, isn't it? We're entitled.
We're self-entitled. We're ultimately self-entitled at the minute. And I think that expectation versus appreciation, I think I found that the more I appreciate and the more gratitude, you know, gratitude attitude, whatever you want to call it, I do, the more good shit happens in my life.
Yeah.
It's not bullshit. I mean, literally, I wake up in a day and it's a simple thing. Like, I'm just happy to be alive today. You know, yeah. Once you start to do that, you start to develop that positive mindset to not really ever goes wrong, because there's a quote in the journal I put in, one of my favourite ever quotes, which says, it's not what happens to you that matters, but how you react
yeah,
to it.
I like that.
Yeah,
and that for me is it. And no matter what, you know, there's tragedies happening every single second of every day. And people either stay in the shit or they climb out of the shit. The shit's still there, right? The shit's still going to be in your life. It's whether you decide to bathe in it or you decide to just have it behind you. And for me, I'd prefer to have it behind me.
No, and I think that was my sort of realisation up the mountain, and I owe a lot to it, was I was still, you know, having to remortgage houses, put everything on the land, because people, you know, see this thing with me and you talk about, the grand of an entrepreneur.
Yep.
They think that they've got the cars, they've got this, they've got that, and it's real, isn't it? You know, 100%. you put everything on the land, and they don't see all that under the iceberg. And I think for me, it was just like, these guys have nothing, absolutely nothing. And when we bring that back to gratitude, and Deck, we was doing that when we was journaling in up Killy, focusing on three things we're grateful for, controlling what we can control, all the things we love, mindset, everything like that. I think for me, that journey on the mountain from the bottom all the way to the top, with some of the adversities we all had and we all suffered in there, for me, that just showed me what life's about. And and I'm a big thing in terms of, and you'll see this, look, you know, and this is what the mountain give me. In life, you know, like a baby gets up when you watch Ada start walking, she'll get up and she'll fall down. She'll get up and she'll fall down. And I believe there's only two things we're scared of, and one's we're scared of dying, and one we're scared of everyone else's opinions, right? Mm. So little Ada, when she learns to walk, she won't care what she looks like. She just knows that every time she gets up, you're going to tell her to get back up, right? And she will walk no matter what. And that is life, innit? You think of that mountain, that journey.
Yeah.
There was ours, Lowe's got.
The baby's analogy. Someone, I went for read, and it was so powerful, it says, when a baby starts to walk, you don't shout at it every time it falls over. Mm. So why do you shout at yourself every time you make a mistake?
I like that.
Yeah, it's just so powerful. And I think if you use that.
Yeah, I love that.
So sorry, Leon, number three. So we've got Andy's Man Club, we've got Going All In, and what were number three?
I think Kilimanjaro.
Kilimanjaro, of course.
Just on that one, we mentioned about the people there, there is poverty and they don't have anything. But something that stuck out to me there is they have nothing, but they do have everything in a way.
Yes.
Because
you've given me an idea.
Because the minimal things that they do have, possessions, make them who they are, and they provide. You know, you see lots of farmers out there, so the wooden tools that are very minimal and very outdated to anything that we see, combine harvesters going round in fields.
Even that pub me and you went to,
the little
shack where they were all sat just playing cards.
Yeah.
It was next level, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And they were playing cards, drinking their own beer that they'd made, and that were some porters having some downtime. Yeah, it tasted awful, by the way.
I think on that though, right? This is the take home I took from that, is in England we're sold this lie, or in the Western world, that go buy an house, pay your castle off, and that you're king of your castle. And there, they live in shacks, don't they? Right.
Mm.
But when you look at it from another angle, their basic needs of shelter and water
and family.
Yeah. And they've got it nailed.
Yeah. You're on about that Western problem is that where I see it go wrong is that people get the castle, they are the king, and then they realise that the best friend's got a bigger castle.
Correct.
Yeah. That's why it's expectation. No one's ever
but the flip side though is we never own that, so we're always paying that off, aren't we? Right. Yeah. The bank owns the asset, whereas then, so a lot of the times, and I was in that trap where you work to live, and. Or vice, I might have that analogy wrong, but
but you got it right
again. Again, Hillary, who was, you know, during the day, he was an electrician, he was earning $3 a day, right? Which is just unbelievable. And then he'd come out with us and do other bits, right? But he was doing it just to have some extra money to go do nice things. He didn't need to do it because he could just be with his family in his unit, which is just...
What you said a minute ago is that what a 10-year-old kid said to me, their favourite quote was, 10-year-old, he said, appreciate everything you have and you have everything you need.
Yeah.
And it's back to appreciation.
Yeah, they have nothing, but they have everything because they've got shelter, they've got the family, and, you know, they've got... Most people have got a generally good health, and... What you know, everything else is a bonus to them, you know, and that's really stuck with me. And, you know, we've spoke about our ideas, how the club can get linked up with we going over there, because such special people. When you're driving around, and when I first landed over, I was thinking this was like something off a film where, you know, there's a lot of sort of civil wars going on, and guys on back of the jeeps carrying guns, and there's and it's unsafe to walk around. But it was just completely the opposite to that.
We went out, didn't we? And how safe did we feel when we got there? And I love. Yeah. And I think for me, I want to go back for the African Nations World Cup. I think it'd be mental. I've got the football kits. The lads got the football kits. We're going back. But on to you. Come on.
Yeah. Top three.
Come on.
Visiting Tanzania. I'm not going to do in any order. Because obviously number one's always going to be the birth of my child. But I'm going to give
So they're in order then?
All right, so we'll go in order. Number one, then, not in Tanzania. The birth of my child, it's got to be, you know, everything around it, you know, even the conception.
But
the 3 minutes of the conception, it's got to be a highlight, you know. So that's got to be up there. But no, seriously, the birth of my child is number one. And we spoke about that, so I'll fly through that. Number two is visiting Tanzania, which might sound as a shock. Why wouldn't it be Kilimanjaro? I learnt more when we were around in villages, and I enjoyed that more. Like when me and you went to Hillary's house, and we went to his little shack, and it was just unbelievable. When us three all went out on little tuk-tuks into the town, and we saw the guards holding the guns, and we saw the people that, and it really was royal in the markets when it got a little bit edgy. And that's for me what I love that, you know. It really, what that gave me a good grounding for when I came home to realise what really matters. So that were thing. And number three, it's tricky. I think it's been the old days. I can't pick one that I've had with my family. You know, I've spent a lot of family time this year. I've worked away a lot. I'm on the road a lot. But the holidays this year, we've actually spent time. But what would stand out more of all the holidays is one weekend. And it sounds mad because I've done some nice places this year. Dubai, Cape Verde. I've been Spain a few times. We're in Mexico. Like, it's been a crazy year.
You come back off Kilimanjaro and you went straight back out again.
Flew straight out to Mallorca. Like, literally, boom, gone again. You know.
Stayed in grounds in Manchester Airport and then had his...
Was it Tom Hanks off...
Of all the really nice, and it's not to brag, all the really nice holidays we've done in the last 12 months, one thing stands out to me, it's Burnsell. I took the kids one day with Lisa, my mum, and the dogs.
It's like North Yorkshire way.
And it's just a river. And we bought some little boats, and we just stayed all day. Not once did kids ask, what we're doing next? What we're doing? Can we get this? Can we get that? They just sat in this freezing cold river all day, tree swinging, me as well, all on the paddle and bloat boats. And that emphasised to me about how much we want to buy them, we want to do this, we want to give them this. Yeah. Actually, the best experiences are free.
Yeah.
I always think in Cape Verde,
I want to
play Tig on Beach.
Experiences, yeah.
And they loved it.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now is, we are going to look forward to 2019 in a minute, but something I just thought about as we're doing this, because we are trying to keep it real raw and just do stuff as we go. What would you say? What would you say? Sorry. I want you to think of three questions. You can ask anyone. We'll all think of three questions, right? You might ask two a day, one of me or whatever. You might ask all three a day. I want you to think of three questions, right? That you can ask someone, so we just get a little bit more out of each other, right? And we'll go around and we'll ask three questions. So you might come up with, you come up with a question, we'll all answer it. You come up with a question, we'll answer it. And I'll come up with a question.
Before I forget, Louise Rice, she's done a big walk this weekend in supporting the man club. So can we give Louise a big shout out, please?
Big shout out, Louise.
Yes, Louise.
Big shout out. Got that in there. Otherwise, Kim will have me.
We'll think of three questions, right? Each. So you're going to lead us off with your first question. So question time.
This one goes to...
It's going to go to everyone. We're all
this
going to
go, right? Okay. So this is something I've been chatting with some people the last couple of weeks. Do you think the current world we live in at the moment is moving too fast as a pace for us as humans?
Wow. Where do you go first?
Good. You go.
Yeah, Luke's pricked his ears up.
100%.
He's on it, isn't he?
100%. I think that I watched...
Even his quiff picks up.
I watched my little girl the other day, a little baby, and I thought, this world, are we still animals? Because the reason why I'm saying this, and it'll make sense, is I said to the midwife, it was just yesterday morning, my little baby girl, I can't remember what it's called, basically looking for breastfeeding, right? They're basically looking for it, right? And I said, it's amazing how we still come out with this innate ability just to, you know, be so... like an animal.
They're looking for the nipple, aren't they?
That's
what they're doing.
Straight up, that's all they're wanting. They're wanting feeding, they're wanting survival. What we've done is, though, around that, so we've got that, we've got the basic human needs, which is shelter, security, love, and then we've added all this other shit, you know, needing that fancy car, needing that fancy house, needing all this stuff, and then technology. And you know what I start to realise is that everything is done at a rate, it's so fast now. Faster cars, faster food, faster
data,
everything is faster, and we want everything now. So now what happens is anxieties are created when people have to wait for something. When you have to wait for an exam result, you have to wait for find out an answer. I could now Google any single thing that I want and get an answer instantly. where no one has to work for anything anymore. So for me, yes, 100% the world is moving way too fast than we used to, which is why I think, you know, people are saying that we're breaking stigmas down on mental health, but I think we are creating a lot of it. I think society, we're creating so much with the advances in technology that we're just not ready for it. I think our human brain isn't ready for that much dopamine hits from social media, okay, from that much serotonin, and I think we're just not quite being able to stick with the speed in which we're moving. You know, you think 50 years ago we still, there were still black and white TVs, yeah, that were about, you know, that were good, they've been a privilege to have one of them, yeah. Now people have a TV in every bedroom, kids are on iPads, kids are on phones, which I've got a pet hate for, which will be, this will be a good debate for me and Leo maybe at another day, because we've got difference of opinions on it, yeah. I'm very, you know, quite against it, iPads, phones and technology for, yeah, my kids at the minute.
I'm going to speak on this a little bit,
but yeah, love that question about you now, Leon. Are we moving too fast?
Well, great question, Dick. Love that question. And for this is, you know how I'm like with technology, but I read somewhere, I was trying to find the numbers, and the number of inputs that we're having at the moment. So you roll back. So I remember, because I'm a bit older than you fellas. I'm 36, so I'm sort of like,
10 years older than me, just to let everyone know that.
8 years older than me, just to, yeah, get that.
How many years?
10 and 8.
Right, anyway, right. So my sister's a little bit older than me again, right? So I remember not having it being in a digital world. But I remember never having a mobile phone and all these different bits, right? I remember what a Betamax video is. Do you guys know what one of them is?
Never heard of it before.
Sounds old.
I remember having to go to Blockbusters. You boys.
Of course, not Blockbuster.
Yeah, right. But you're getting where I'm going, yeah, with this, right?
Not 58.
Right, but I was listening to
talking up like you've done World War II.
I was listening.
Back in my day.
I was listening. My nephew got me listening to the podcast with Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, right? And on there was talking about that already. Is it a cyborg? Where like we're linked in with technology, and I was thinking, what's he on about? As if we are, right? And he said, right, any question. So we could raise any question right now, and within 30 seconds we could jump on Google and we could answer that question, right?
Yep.
So we've got access right now at our fingertips to infinite intelligence, yeah, at our fingertips, yeah, right? Which all of a sudden, as a human race, that's off the charts, isn't it? Right. The next thing on that though, when we say, is it moving too fast, right? You think about it, we're used to, and I liken it to a computer game. So when I'm trying to teach someone technology, I'm using some of the latest technology out there in the schools at the minute, right? Taking a teacher who's just used a certain technology for the last 10, 15 years, it's like blowing the mind. And I give them this simple analogy. I said, do you remember video games? You ever played a video game? And some of them are like, well, yeah, I know about a PlayStation, Xbox. And I said, well, what was the first one? And they go, I remember a bat and a ball, right? So it's a controller that slid up and down and it did one movement, right? Roll that forward now with technology. Kids are now using like an Xbox pad, right? How many buttons is on an Xbox pad? Roll it forward again though, they've got the virtual reality headsets now as well, haven't they? Yep. So they've got an Xbox pad, a virtual reality headset, and they're in the games, and they're not only using the fingers and all the rest of it, they're using the full body as a controller, right? So in terms of number of inputs and outputs, right, if you go take us now and make us play a virtual reality game next to someone who's 7, 8, 9 or 10, they're learning it, because at the minute their brains aren't telling them that they can't do nothing, right? So they're picking up the number of inputs a child's having in terms of communication. You think of how much information a child's getting from a mobile device each day.
And not even just children.
Just all of us, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat,
emails, texts, WhatsApp.
And it's just consistent. So, yes, it is moving quicker, but what needs to start changing is our understanding of technology. So, yeah, like I talk to you, right, and this is my big thing. So I'm a massive fanboy of Apple.
But the question is,
you go on.
Do you think
we're
moving too fast?
And that's not technology moving too fast, but this is why.
It's because we need to get off our arses and go educate ourselves and sort it out. It's real simple. So, for example, let's box one thing off, right? Technology moving too quick. You're into Apple, and me and you both love Apple products, don't we, right? They're fantastic, right? I love Apple products, but my kids don't have an iPad, right? They have an Amazon Kindle. They've had them for the last couple of years. The reason they have one of them is, and the reason I've put one of them is, it's controlled. The content's controlled. So my daughters and Blake are far better than me at reading, writing, spelling, because they can go on their Kindle, and when it turns on, it only turns on at a certain time, after they've brushed their teeth, after they've done the thing, right? And it forces them to read. It then forces them to the maths applications. It then forces them to a lot of things that I've told them that they need to do. And then they can have 30 minutes of Netflix. Then they can have 30 minutes of YouTube. And then we've got...
But I'm going to hold you there.
Yeah, go on.
Right. because that sounds like a lot of fucking information to me.
No, but,
because they're going to brush them teeth, yeah. And then they've got the maths, then they've got this, and they've got that.
No, but if, no, but no, no. If
on
the
flip side, because this is what it's all about, these conversations.
Yeah.
My little boy Alpha gets home, and the minute he gets home, he goes, runs upstairs as fast as he can, takes his clothes off, runs straight into the garage, gets his bike, and plays out till his friends come. Yeah. Comes in when it's dark. Right? There's not many inputs there other than, oh, I'm playing out with. And I think, right, the reason why we are moving too fast is kids have lost social skills.
Yeah.
Because of, they can get an answer instantly. So when they've got to go and ask a friend, you know, I've got a little girl at the minute who's 4, and she's already, I can see little things building in her. She gets shy about things, right? Which I'm quickly going to try and mould out of her, right? Because she doesn't need to have these anxieties about things. Yeah. But for me, I've got to pin my thing up my son, just because it's an opinion, it doesn't mean it's right. We're moving too fast, just because I still want my kid. It's like, I hear parents tell me now, yeah, I get, my kids are always on their laptops, but I don't feel them safe and playing out. If you look at the stats of people being kidnapped, there's like 2 a year, and it's always by like the dad of the child.
I want an actual
guy driving around in a white van actually taking kids. Yeah. It's very, very rare. It's the safest time in history to live.
It won't be as safe being on the internet for kids. It's safer for them to be outside, in my opinion.
Periods of time, when you've lived, like when we've lived, this 2018 is the safest time ever to live.
Yeah, but it's with the challenges, and this is back to that point, and this is a really interesting point you've got here, right? Because this is, we're having that conversation now, me and Zoe, about Evie, letting her play out in the local park, right, at the moment. So that's coming up at the minute where she should be able to go to the local park. She's 8, friends are calling for her, wanting to play with her, and we've got this thing going on ourselves, so we've got a nice garden and all the other bits, right? And we're having this internal conflict, me and Zoe, at the moment, about letting her play out, right? And what's responsible and what's thinking, right? Because what is responsible, and we can get into something big here, but let me just nip back to the technology for one little bit, right? They get 1 hour on it. That's all they get.
Right.
1 hour, right?
The only thing I got when you said forces would be maths, but I'm thinking.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean? We're talking about moving fast.
Yeah.
Suddenly, a kid used to sit down. I remember my mum used to do a little quiz. She'd write down a piece of paper, and we'd have to stand with her, and she'd say, right, what is 9 times 9, what is, and we'd go through it, and she'd teach us doing it that way, you know. But
yeah,
now,
which is
my little boy goes on Rockstar Maths.
Yeah, but you think
it's an app.
You think now that we've got more single parents than ever, right? And also let's flip it around. I can't physically sit there and do spelling because I can't spell. I can't sit there and physically do normal maths because I need a spreadsheet, right? I can't sit there and do that with my kids, so my technology does that for them. But the flip side, exact 100%, right? I want my kids out playing. I want them doing stuff. I want them climbing trees. I want them hurting themselves. I want them learning. But there's a massive piece, like you're saying, in terms of, I believe it is the safest. I believe there's a lot of
statistically, it's the safest.
Yeah, but there's a lot of
crimes at lowest it's ever been.
And
just we hear more of it.
Yeah,
we're exposed to more. Like the kid who's been bullied there on the video is a good example. That is happening 1,000 times a day, all over country, all over world. It's just one that's gone viral, right? The problem we've got nowadays is we are exposed to more pain, they're saying scientifically, in one day that we used to be in a lifetime. Because I remember my granddad, we used to go and look at paper weekly, who died, see if he knew anyone, right? You know, in obituaries, I think it's called. Nowadays, that don't happen. Yeah. Facebook, rest in peace. You go on Facebook, anyone pull the social media up now, there's some bad shit happening, whether it be news or whatever. But just to give you a little bit on kids playing out, if this helps.
So help us then, go on, give me some advice.
My missus, allowed my 4-year-old to play out, which I had a bit of an internal about with, thinking she's out. We live on a new build estate, so there's no through road, but still cars are about. And she said, I'll stand and watch with her. So she does, she stands and she watches, and she's out now. But Aubrey's getting to that age now where she can probably start going out a little bit more. She's nearly 5 next year. But we're cool with it, like literally, because all these kids play out together, and I'd rather them, you know, it'd be very impossible, very, very difficult for someone to come and take them, right? And there's more chances of getting knocked over or something.
And that's the big thing for me is the road as well, isn't it? But it's got to happen sometime, right?
I'd rather take a risk on them playing out and maybe falling over or hurting himself than I would than someone, you know, cyber attacking them online.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm trying to, you know, I'm not really, is it sheltered maybe? You know, I'm quite strict in that sense. But the flip side, I expose them to by letting them go play out constantly.
And this is the great thing, though, look at it. In terms of, at the end of the day, this has all been human. So regardless of us being business owners, this, that, other, this is where it comes real. And it's like, because you love that little human being, like Ada at the minute, right? When you first seen it, what is your love like for that little human being?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
And I always remember with Zoe, when we first had kids, and I was thinking, I'm not really a worrier. I'm not that, you know. I remember Evie like falling off her, and there's Zoe watching, just leave her. She'll learn. She's climbing up stuff, and I'm like, we need to get her down. And Zoe's like, no, she'll only fall once. And I'm like, no, we don't want her to fall once. And she's going, she needs to learn. And it's that. And I think we've got this thing. This is same in the man club. This is same in life. It's back to that. We do have to let people fall over. But when it, we talk about a big thing though with children at that point, aren't we? And but it's got to happen. I mean, I remember me from being seven in Hull. I could go to, you know, from where I lived, I used to go play out on a place called Brandzone. It's one of the biggest council estates in Europe, right? I could ride on a bike there from seven, and I used to go fishing and do all different things. My cousins up there, and Selena and all the rest of them up there. And I don't know if I turned out all right, but.
Well, so to pin your mast, yeah. Right? Forget technology, forget everything. Do you think the world's moving too fast at the minute for human beings?
No, I think the marketing of it and the way we is moving too fast. I don't think we are.
Deck, you asked a question. Where'd you pin your mask?
I do. I think it's moving too fast for us. Yeah. I think.
2-1.
Yeah. No, I do. I think work. The stress is coming from work. Although there's a we can control it to a point, but I think generally I'll look at, you know, the my circles that I can see, and it's just pressure from work. Again, social media, I love and I believe what you said earlier about it should be a tool. We should be using it as a tool, and I think the problem is that it's using too many people, and there's science behind that, which you've mentioned. Overall, I think, yes, it's moving too fast. I think excuses can be made that it's going too fast and people aren't doing enough because they can have some control over certain things. But you know, I'm implementing them controls, and still I'll look at my phone for an example, and I sit on the sofa, and you know, WhatsApps are into hundreds, messengers are up there, and you're just like, I physically can't get back to all these people in the time that I've got, and
I'm gonna
they're anxious about that. I can't get back to them.
You've led it onto a great point.
Can I just ask one question before I go though, right? Because we like solutions, don't we?
Yeah,
love it.
I said this in this talk I was doing the other day, right? And this is keeping it real. Let's keep this shit real here. Is we talk about this controlling us as a tool, right? Turn your notifications off. Tell everybody that if it's important, right? I've got a favourites list of my nearest and dearest. If they ring me, my phone rings. If it's on silent, it doesn't ring, right?
Yep.
I tell everyone who's nearest and dearest to me, if you need me, you ring me, right? You don't text me, you don't WhatsApp me, you don't email me, you ring me, and I'll ring you back, right? And it's a bit like working out. It takes effort, right, to control that, but it's really simple. It takes, how can you change your life in an heartbeat? One decision, one choice, right? So that's why I think that on the technology front, we've got to do that. The other one, though, why I think it's not moving too fast, it needs to move faster, in my opinion, right? I'm not getting any younger. We need to change the world, fellas, right? And we wouldn't be sat around this table if technology weren't running as fast as it was.
No, but here's one for you. The thing is though, where you've gone, technology, the word technology we never mentioned, right? Is it the world moving too fast? I agree, and the reason being is because we've created so many applications and so many points or inputs, we're consuming more information on a daily basis than before. So your subconscious mind is still doing the things it's always done, which is controlling how you feel, it's controlling your breathing, it's controlling where you rest your tongue, it's controlling your heartbeat, it's controlling everything. And what we're doing is you know, you take a 20-year-old single man, he's on Tinder, he's on Twitter, he's on Facebook, he's on Instagram, he's starting a business, he's on LinkedIn, I don't know, probably before my time, he's on WhatsApp, he's on text, he's on everything, right? So we're consuming more information, and we wonder why everyone's so stressed. So is it moving too fast? The statistic would say 100% is, if you went on actual facts and figures, that stress levels are through the roof.
Or is it our own human greed that's moving too fast?
Is it a lack of education that we deal with these things that are
why
coming
we,
up?
Why are we taught at school what all these things are?
Because it could happen that fast.
No, it's not.
We're talking about, you talked about work, expectation, appreciation. I said, right, your boss now has an expectation on you,
correct?
Right, and you have an expectation on the site you manage, right? Yeah. They should work faster than they used to. 10 years ago, it might have took you to build a stadium like that. It might have took 5 years.
What size of things are you building now? What are you building?
It's a 600-bed student accommodation, so it's 14 floors.
So 10 years ago, that's taking maybe a few years to make.
How long is it taking to build that from ground up?
Just under 18 months.
Exactly. Is that the official programme?
Yeah.
Right, and do you get what I'm saying?
Be careful as well.
Yeah. No, do you get what I'm saying? And then there's an expectation that that's got to be done. But not just from you, it goes well above. It goes to your boss, his boss, the investors. It's pressure now, everyone get the money back. And then there's a constant like, an expectation around appreciation of shit happens, it takes time.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is, because I'm hesitant that Leon's got to go get trained out of London, so I want your question, Leon. I'm going to fire a question, then you go.
If you could speak to yourself when you're in your last year at school, what advice would you give yourself and why?
It all works out.
Nice.
Simple. It'd be simple for me. It all works out. Never wonder about what shit's going to hit you. Never wonder how hard life's going to hit you. You just keep believing, keep grinding, it all works out.
Mine would be to study harder. If I could roll back to high school now, not just last year, but I'd study real hard, because I'd love to do it now. I'd just study and read and educate myself as much as I can. But again, when you're working full time, you've got different responsibilities you can't do. But I'd just get my head down, study and learn as much as I could.
I thought you were going to say, are you using time as an excuse, sir?
And exactly, we need to sort this man out.
Was you going to use time as an excuse?
We need to say
I nearly found Bell, but you're too far away.
We need to, we need to go on.
Because I'm not using time as an excuse.
Let's dig him out.
Once you have a baby, you'll realise once you have a baby how much sleep you don't actually need.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been trying to get up early, little, and this morning I were up 2, 4, 6, just thinking my missus was getting annoyed, but you'll find that you do have time.
You can, 20 minutes a day.
There's a thing it says
you can.
I'm not saying you can't learn.
People say I need to find more time. You'll never find more time.
No.
You've got to execute more effectively.
I agree with both of you. What I'm not saying is I don't have enough time to study now, because I do.
Bullshit.
I do learn.
And
I have an hour.
Bullshit.
And I have an hour commute to work on a morning, and I'm learning. I'll listen to self-ed podcasts. What I'm trying to say is if you're school for 6 or 8 hours a day to learn.
That's
dedicated time to learning.
Yours? Advice?
Do what you love. Find out what you love doing and just go do that. Just do it.
What my question is, what part of your life are you focused on improving?
Great question.
It is. I couldn't just say one at the moment.
I've got multiple ones I'm working on. I'll tell you one, and this is going to be something that we're going to lead on to.
Oh,
mine is my body, right?
It's a big body.
It's the one thing.
Stand up.
It's a lot of work.
Stand up. It's a big job.
It comes last. I'm constantly proving the mind, the spiritual side, the family side, the business side. The hair's looking strong. Everything is going well. I put focus on that. The one thing now is I've just set up a gym in my garage, proper gym. Not the bike.
Lisa's
getting a treadmill for Christmas.
Nice.
Right? No, I'm not being sexist.
She wants that. We're not talking about Lisa,
right?
Are we?
She wants that.
She'll be back in shape in no time.
So I'm going to be using the treadmill as well. So the treadmill, the bike, my big focus. From tomorrow, I'm going to say it, I'm going to do a biggest loser, mainly Leon are, and he will be the biggest loser.
I'm going to say Leon shouldn't be getting away with this lightly, isn't it?
I know.
Right, Nick. I've got the watch back on. The watch
don't make you exercise.
He doesn't put on the dog.
So, mine is, I'm going to have a big, strong focus on my body. Deck, give me one key focus.
I'm going to put it out there and say relationship, because...
Nice.
There's been a lot recently, work and different things, and probably lost a little bit of focus on that. So some more work goes into that.
And where focus goes, energy flows.
Love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man's been not so rigid.
Fluid.
I like to go off the goals, and I get so focused on the goals, I forget. It's a bit like the Achilles, forget the journey. So I just want to be. I want to work on the body and all these other bits, but I want to make sure that. My number one goal is spend more time with my family. That's my number one goal.
Yeah. And I know you like the what, how, why. Right? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? I like an addition to that. So it's not about what you achieve. It's not about how you're doing it. It's not about why you do it. It's about who you become in the process.
God, look at that.
So that's for me.
He's lined that up, hasn't he?
I am. Honestly, just thinking about what you said then, because we all get so obsessed with goals. Yeah. How we're going to do it. Why we're doing it. Why. We're passionate. We've got purpose.
Yeah.
Naturally, right? You're going to do all that, you're going to have purpose, but who do you want to become? Because I'll tell you now, one thing we're all going to have in common, everyone listening to this, is one day we're going to die. Yeah. One thing we couldn't control was the day we were born. Mum and Dad took care of that. Ugh, I know we don't want to think of that. then there's the day we die. So the day we're born, the day we die, two things we can't control. Mm. We can only control, so we're going to have a date of birth, we're going to have a date of death. In between that is a dash. The dash represents what? Life.
Yeah.
What I want to do is, and what I constantly ask myself a question is when my kids or my grandkids or whoever come to my gravestone, my friends, my peers, I want to ask myself a question. What do I want my life to represent? So when they look at my dash, that's a question for anyone out there listening today, is what do you want your life to represent? Don't have to be some esoteric thing. You don't have to start a worldwide movement or go saving homeless people or go change the world. But you can change your world. Mm. What do you want your world?
Do you know what's quite nice about that? Because I struggle writing with, you know, the way that I can't spell and the other bits. And then a guy who I was working with, like a little life coach, said to me, carry a journal. And you know this journal's famous, don't you? It's everywhere on my little journal. And he said to me, carry it around here. And he said, I want you to make a commitment. Because I was like, I never use them, never writing them. And he said, think of it. He said, when you're older, he said, you can give all these journals to your kids so they can see what you're doing. And it was quite nice. This podcast is going to be quite cool. And they can look at that. And I think 100%. I think for me, 100%, I think if anything, my goals used to be, I want this, I want the next big thing, I want that. I just want to make sure my kids have someone to look up to, and I want them to be the best version of them. And I think when I look at it, my parents struggled, you know, no education. I'm more educated. My sister's kids are the first of our kids to go to university. And I think for me, I just want to make sure that we keep driving that, and I think that's why it's powerful.
Yeah, we spoke about it again, linking back to Kilimanjaro. We were focused on the summit from before we set off. But it were about the journey, wasn't it? It were about the journey more than reaching the summit. And I know we spoke about it.
I think you've just hit a real nice point. Explain though the slug squad though, because we mentioned what it stood for, but the word slug, because that's what we use that. We talk about anchors, don't we, Luke?
Yeah.
We use the word slug because it's not a very fast animal. Similar bodies
to Leon.
Yeah. And we knew that our skill wasn't going to be the fittest, because we want the fittest. You was, Dave, but we knew that wasn't going to be our skill. So why did we come up with slugs? What to come on?
It was more for a togetherness, wasn't it? Because it was going to be tough, and everyone has the highs and lows at different times, and it was just to keep that togetherness going, keep at one pace, and just be there together to go through it. You need standards along the way, you know, unity. And gangsters as well, but again, gangsters can mean, you know, different things. We like to think we're just, you know, modern day guys, cool guys, real guys, and that's what that stands for. It's not that we go around with a whip and a knife and that sort of stuff, but it's just current day men who are just cool and easy going, and you know, we're there for each other and respect the tribe.
That
is the podcast, isn't it?
That's it.
That's it. Getting together, keeping real. Yeah,
we were being
ourselves along the way, whether being ourselves were tired and struggling and needing an arm round us, or whether we were that person who were playing some tunes and picking the group up, picking the slug squad up. We were being ourselves in different versions.
Carrying a bag when he couldn't carry his own bag, Luke.
Yeah,
when he was carrying someone else's bag. And
but do you know what? To me, that there represents life, right? Because at times, you know, the three of us, you're going to need to lean on someone. And you know, since Kilimanjaro, you know, it has been, you know, I've built good relationships with you both. I had to put to deck as much as I like to. We're often busy. I can't get off phone to this one. He's constantly, I reckon he's busy, but he just can't stop ringing. But we're in there, out where we're on it, and I think it creates some real bonds. For me, life is about connections, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, end of
the
day, no matter how much possessions you have, no matter what car you drive, what house you live in, how much money you end up acquiring in bank, ultimately it'll come down to, you know, the people that you had around you, and that's for me what it's all about.
And I like that that vision you had of the Man Club. But you know, the vision of the Man Club, but you know, underneath it all, you don't have to be struggling with mental health, you don't have to be struggling with depression, you don't have to be suicidal, you don't have to be struggling. You know, I like that last little line on the Man Club where it says, to meet another group of lads with one common purpose to help each other grow. That's the most important thing for me of the Man Club. That's what I love about the Man Club. And I think that's what we'll put on this. I said this the other day. We'll put on this world to love each other as another human being, and we're designed to grow. We're not designed to be. What's your day job title? What is it?
Construction manager.
What's your day job title? Exactly. I just keep making mine up just to make it sound better, right? And we label ourselves.
I've created one. But we're storyteller.
But we label ourselves, don't we? and we start believing it, though, don't we? That's the problem.
Yeah, we do. And. When I got asked to come here, and I were excited, and I thought, why am I excited to go? Why am I excited to come? And it wasn't because I'm going to be on a podcast. It wasn't because I'm going to be filmed. It doesn't matter to me, but it was about...
He's only Leeds Day.
I think we've got some here. I think it's good for Easter, isn't it?
Yeah, but it were about that. It were exactly about that, and it were about surrounding yourself with good people. And as the more I get older, the more I want to surround myself with good people and good conversations, because that's what's important to me. So this could have been anywhere, but coming to meet you two guys were important to me. Whether it was filmed, recorded, whatever it might be, we're coming to have a good chat with people that I care about, and I learned things from as well when I'm speaking to them. So that's why I would honoured to come.
Nice, Dick. Honoured to have you. And for me,
I'm
just putting this out there. He's on it all the time.
I think so as well.
And he just needs to make it work. That's all. I don't know how we're going to get him in, but even if we have to FaceTime him in or whatever, we'll have to have a word with his.
We've got a phone call.
Who do you work with? What company is it?
ISG.
ISG, big company then.
Yeah, ISG Construction.
I'm sure the boys at ISG Construction, yeah. And you know, it's good for them, isn't it? You know, it's good for them. We'll open them up.
It is.
Yeah. Just free in the room together. We'll open,
it is.
I'll give them some free advice and technology. You can talk to them about leadership and management. Well, there'll be something we can do with them. It'll be fine.
They will.
We'll just FaceTime you in.
But it will work somehow. Like I say, I was meant to be off yesterday, and this were meant to be taken yesterday, and it just works out. Like we say, with the man club, it just works out. So I'm sure, put positive things out there, something will work out.
So on that then, because I know you two, I know we've got to get this guy.
I'm checking out. Yeah,
Tomorrow. You know, what we're trying to do is keep the BU experience, the BU podcast, separate to what is Andy's Man Club. Yeah, yeah. But how can we not speak about Andy's Man Club when the freezer in the room? Mm. You two, you run a successful Leeds group, you run a successful Hull group. You're both trustees now, you're going to be part of that on 10th, having a big meeting. Mm. But tomorrow you're both coming up to Edinburgh. You're showing love to our Scotland brothers.
Yes!
We're going to get that unity back there. Why? Well, not back there, we're going to show that unity.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. I wish I could come. Obviously, I've got a newborn child at home, I've got to be around.
We'll represent.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Big for me is my dad's country, where he's from, so I'm looking forward to getting back up there.
I love that.
And I mean, the work they do up there is unbelievable.
The boys are class.
And the two guys we met, I can only speak about the guys that we've met.
Alex and Adam, got to give them a shout.
Yeah, Alex and Adam, got a big shout out. What legends they are! You know, totally different characters to each other, but again, synergy works so well. And yeah, when I was asked, I was just like, I'm excited to go meet them.
There was two things. I mean, I was a bit humbled. Like, what are we going to go tell them boys?
Yeah.
But again, we're just going to vibe out.
Do you know what? It's not even. It's just to give a fresh voice.
Yeah.
You know, they're up there. They're leading the charge. But you two are going
to. We can teach you some of our mistakes. I've got some great stories to tell tomorrow. On a few bits. And because I think the big thing is, and before we check out though, no one can prepare for that, can they? So we need to go up there and help them brothers, our Scottish brothers.
Yeah, and we'll learn from them. I'll take on probably
What's
more that, from
what,
that.
What, we're going to have to check out then. I've got to go.
You've got to go. So I think the main lesson here is we've got in today, we've done this, we've kept it real, kept it raw. We never have a plan. We're not going to have a plan. We're going to just keep rattling stuff out. Eventually, you know, we'll build up a good following on the BU podcast. Yeah.
And do you know what's nice? There's room for a guest, look.
Of course there is.
He was never meant to be a guest, was he?
No.
Look at that.
And then we've got room for you. You're always meant to be, and this is how it is. You two look great together in a single shot. I don't know how we're getting him in with someone else, but it is what it is. Definitely a good wide angle. But you know what? We've got it on Facebook. It's gone live. You know, a massive shout out to Proper Sport Crew here, who've let us use all their facilities.
Yeah, great facilities.
Great facilities.
And I'm hoping we're going to build up a good partnership with them, help promote them, and help build up what they're doing here, and also ourselves. So, you know, I'd like to thank our main sponsor, the BU Journal. You know, they've been amazing in this to do that. And Think Cloud, it's been an amazing experience for me, and hopefully you guys have enjoyed it.
It's been amazing.
It's been epic. And I think anyone listening to this is just us chatting. So, I mean, this is how it needs to be, innit?
Yeah.
We'll get into a lot more topics. We'll go talking mindfulness, spirituality, personal development, success, and what it means to be, or what is even
who's won the other one in training in the week.
Yeah, we're also going to be doing some
percentage weight gain.
We are going to be having some fun. We're going to create some BU podcast, social media platforms where me and Leon are going to do some challenges. We're also going to get on some challenge on
it's a strong beard that gets deck.
Chili challenge, are we on about Cheers, that man. Still
chili challenge,
we're going to do like some bit of fun. Guests get to come and have a bit of a chili challenge, see how they do.
Okay.
We're going to add loads of little fun stuff to this.
Sounds
also
hot.
The core of it all is to always remember to be yourself. That's the number one for me. You know, you can be yourself because everyone else is taken.
Yeah.
Oscar Wilde, I think it's just so powerful. And don't let your limitation define you.
Now, just while we're on BU, I use a BU journal, and I know a few people that do. And as far as journals go, for me, and I know I'm your mate, that it's the best that I can find out there.
Epic.
For people who want a BU journal, where do they get one from?
Look, I'm luddock.co.uk. /B-U.
And I think we should share that out as well, because they've been a massive help for me, and I know a lot of people are using them.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm checking out. Cheers, fellas.
Checking out.
Remember, BU.